Spurgeon, great English preacher, was castigated. He was shunned, made fun of, and finally was banished from the Baptist Assembly in England. They didn't like what he was preaching. So I'll look into that maybe and understand. Jeremiah was kind of like that, wasn't he? He was treated very much the same way Spurgeon was 2,600 years before. The Chaldeans had Jerusalem surrounded, pestilence and famine disgraced the land, and Jeremiah's warnings were ignored and not believed, much like those of Spurgeon were in England in the late 1800s. What an interesting attitude we find with the population of both Spurgeon and Jeremiah. Pretty much alike. Let's apply Jeremiah's attitude and Spurgeon's to the attitude we find today in the mess we are in. And we, beloved, are in a mess. Oh, the old man's preaching doom and gloom again. Beloved, you watch television. You read the newspaper. You know what I'm talking about. I wish with all my heart the churches of this nation could have heard Brother BJ's message last week. How many say amen?
Amen.
A question that must be answered is what I'm preaching about today. I'm 88 years old, fortunate to be able to stand before you actually. And I would say, I will tell you that I was born during the Great Depression. Born in 1932, this country was going through the Great Depression. At that time, the banks were closed, bread lines, organizational crime, mafia took over. It was pretty bad in the early 30s. And I was born then. And when I was just a little boy, Pearl Harbor came up. So this nation's been in a few situations, hasn't it? Now there are people who are saying possibly what we're going through now is indication of the second coming of Jesus Christ. A lot of people thought that back in 32. A lot of people thought that when the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor. I just wonder. I'm going to say this. What we see today began back in those first 88 years of my life. No, they did not, did they? And they do not. You know, some might say these terrible things started happening when the First World War came up. others might cite the American Civil War or the Revolutionary War as one freedom as we fight to become a United States and not a branch of the British Kingdom. It's interesting, all these thoughts. When did this insanity today begin? Not in any of those times. Evidently, many would argue that the Reformation, turning the world away from a crooked and corrupt religious power, was beginning. Others might say the Great Crusades. Others might say the Roman Empire, as recorded even in the Bible, the history of the Roman Empire. And to many, that might have been when it all began. No, none of these things were. None of these things have anything to do with what's happening here today in America. Beloved, it wasn't even all the years God's people, the 400 years they spent under Pharaoh. They may have thought there wasn't. When was it? It's a question that needs to be answered. When did all this happen? Look at all these other things over the history of the world. When did it happen? What began the insanity we see in our cities today? Right here in America. What began that? When did that start? I'll tell you when it started. Look, Josh. It's not an 88-year-old man going back to when he was a kid, and many people thought that might be it. I read from the third chapter of Genesis, a very brief passage. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. But God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's when it begins. I'll paraphrase. Oh, did God really say? Is that what God really meant? What did they do? What did they do? They disobeyed God's word. That's when it all began. We were created, the human race, according to the book, in God's image. Right?
That's right.
That's interesting. I wonder why Jesus told Nicodemus, a preacher, mind you, I wonder why he told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you can't get to heaven. You can't make it. You will not make it to heaven unless you are what? Oh, born again. Why do they have to be born again? Because the Spirit of God left the perfect man and perfect woman when they disobeyed God, and their progeny has suffered the same thing ever since. It's that simple. Oh, the new birth. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. They didn't listen to Spurgeon. I hope you're listening to me. I do. Some of you folks I remember seeing before. Some of you I've never seen. Some of you are my closest friends. But I hope every single person here knows the truth. This isn't anything new. Nothing new. Here's an interesting thing. After Jesus Christ's resurrection, after he came now, walked out of the tomb, he met with his disciples. Now they'd been with him through this ministry. They had seen the work of God. And here's what they said. Go to the book of Acts. It really, really makes you think when you see these things. Okay. I begin reading here in the sixth verse of the first chapter of Acts. When they, therefore, this being his disciples, the ones that have been with him for the 3.5 year ministry, been seen the miracles, been with him, know his power, followed him. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They're still thinking, I think they're still thinking about before he came. Okay, now do we get it back? Right?
No.
What's in their minds? Now, will we become rulers? Is it now? And he said unto them, that's not for you to know. What? What do you mean? We're your people. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his power. Oh, did God really say? It would be amusing if it wasn't so sad. I just take a few more minutes. Again, Jesus talks with his disciples before his crucifixion. It's found in Matthew, beginning with verse 3 in the 24th. I want you to listen now. I want you to listen to Jesus, not some old guy in the pulpit. And as he sat, this being Jesus now, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privily, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" They must not have remembered asking that, I guess, a little later in the book of Acts. But, you know, we do forget things sometimes. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceives thee." Who won? No man. Good morning. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." On the back of every piece of currency in our nation, you will find these words. What are they? "In God we trust." Oh, really? Oh, really? "For my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, shall betray one another, shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound," iniquity shall abound. Why? Because Satan, is that what he's talking about? "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Did I pick those songs this morning? Didn't I have a question? I had no idea those were going to be. Oh, well. "Okay, preacher," you say. Okay. "Do you mean this messed up world finds itself in? Definitely is not a sign of the last times." Of course not. It may be. But I certainly am not going to preach it is, or teach it is, or hopefully think or wish it is. I was just telling you when it started. So, I go on for another 1,000 years, it might be it. No man knows. But it was not during the Great Depression, or the World Wars, or the Black Plague. It was not during the Dark Ages, or the Roman Empires. It was not during Pharaoh. Even the 400 years in Egypt were not the time of Noah, when the human race was wiped out with the exception of his family. No. It wasn't in any of that. It was in the garden. All those thousands of years ago began then. Oh, did God really say it will end when God ends? Amen?
Amen.
Well, why are you telling us all this, preacher?
you.
I'm telling you this because I want you to know you are really ready in case.
It is.
Are you ready? Have you been born again? Beloved, there is a fact. Our race has a hard time learning. Black, red, yellow, white, the human race created in God's image. History is here. The human race's history is here in this Bible. His story. It's all about God and not about us. And when we learn that, we're ready. Are you ready? I want to read a poem I wrote. What's that got to do with it? Well, it makes us think, I think, a little bit. But I'm going to read it to you and then I'll leave you alone. He preached that a storm was coming someday. And folks laughed, folks scoffed at what he had to say. But that crazy old preacher just preached to them more and kept on proclaiming for years of 60. He built a huge boat on the brow of a hill while people just laughed and scoffed at him still. Then something strange happened that none could explain. One drop at a time, it started to rain.